What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at apologiaradio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
Non-rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy? Or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go in the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
What's up, y'all? This is the gospel heard around the world. Apologia Radio. Get us at apologiaradio.com, apologiaradio.com. Also on iTunes, you can subscribe to us for free. Go and get the podcast linked up to your smartphone or device and listen to us, all the past episodes. Please rate us and leave comments on our iTunes channel. That would really help to get Apologia Radio up and into the face of the culture by making it one of the most popular podcasts. So rate us, leave a comment, and we may even read your comment on the air. What's up, back? That's Luke the Bear over there. What's up, Luke the Bear?
Yo, yo.
And that's Joy the Girl.
Hello.
Hello, Joy. How you feeling today?
Good.
Excellent.
How are you?
Things are good.
I was going to be disappointed if you didn't play anything.
Elliot, you know how we do it. We have always, especially music. We always have special music for Elliot. Skinny jeans. This weekend at church, Elliot leads worship, and he was wearing shorts.
What?
You're throwing people off. They come with expectations, Elliot. That's Elliot Skinny Jeans.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome back, dude.
Thanks, man.
You ready to talk about Star Wars?
I'm always ready to talk about Star Wars.
I know.
Always.
We know
this. I was talking to Joy about Star Wars on the way over here.
Yeah?
Yeah, because they're making a new theme park over in Disneyland.
They're making a new theme.
Well, they're like making a whole new section from what I understand.
Oh, sweet.
So rather than just having Star Wars a part of Tomorrowland, they're going to actually make a Star Wars section.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I will be there camping on the site watching the construction, doing a time-lapse video to bring back to you guys. No, I wish I could.
When I went to that Star Wars little thing last time, it was awesome. They changed the video several times, so you get to do a different, actual experience, different, you know, Star Wars rides while you're there. And my son is 5, and let me just tell you how much of a nightmare it was. They have the situation where the kids can come and sit down and they get to participate in, like, Darth Vader coming up and Darth Maul is there and they get to fight him. Let me tell you, there's no more rotten experience than having your son wait there and not get picked.
Right.
It just throws the entire Disney experience off.
Oh, no.
Sit there waiting for an hour, not get picked, come back, do it again, not get picked again, and then another one. It's just awful. It's best just to pretend like it doesn't exist. Is that Darth Vader? Nah. No, it's just very
that's
hot.
That's your mom.
So we're back, and this is Apologia Radio. A couple things to announce, wanted to tell you guys about. Important things going on. Number one is that we would ask all of our listeners to participate in what is a really important donation drive going on right now. It ends September 1st, and you can give to the work and ministry of Apologia Church by giving through apologiaradio.com. Go and donate there. Listen, if this show blesses you, know that we are listener-supported. So as you give to the ministry of Apologia Church, we're able to minister, to do what we do as a church, and to give you this radio program. And so if it blesses you, please give. We have till September 1st for the donation drive, and we want to bless our listeners in participating. And so the point is to give to the ministry of Apologia Church, but we want to bless you. And so here's what you do. You give at apologiaradio.com. You want to ask 10 friends to like Apologia Radio on your Facebook. And you want to pull your favorite episode of Apologia Radio, share it in your social media, ask your friends to take a listen. And here's how it works. For every $25 that you give in, from now until September 1st, that's going to go in, the $25 segments are going to go into a raffle. We want to give a gift away. And here's the gift. We're going to fly you out. You're going to get round trip tickets, airfare plus hotel. You're going to come in the studio, join Luke and Joy and I in the studio, and me in the studio, and then we're going to take you out to Fogo de Chão Meat Fest 2014.
I think we should add in they can meet skinny jeans too.
That would be good.
They can see for themselves how tiny his hands are.
Should I wear my skinny jeans? I don't even think I can fit in those things.
Yeah, you should do it. You should.
I'll go buy a special pair of skinny jeans.
You don't need to buy a special pair. Quit lying.
Your donations will go to pay for my skinny jeans.
You got six pairs of chaps in your closet, and you know it. And you know it.
I'll have to have
so
it.
So why don't we call them chaps?
No, I've never worn
skinny
chaps.
Why do we call them skinny jeans?
Going in a direction that I do not appreciate.
So you'd rather be skinny jeans than chaps?
Whatever. Yeah.
We might find
skinny chaps have a whole different...
So let me explain how this raffle thing works.
Yeah.
So I think it was Saturday, we had a special listener donate $650 towards.
Oh, praise God.
Yes. Thank you very much, special listener. You know who you are. But let me explain how this works. They now have been entered into the raffle 26 times. So there's, I think, 51 entries. So you know what that means? This person owns half. He has a 50% chance of winning this trip.
So get your block. Yes. What we're saying, yeah. You know,
we're saying that you should buy entries at 25 entries at a time. So we will be accepting your $650 donations whenever you like.
Yeah,
just go ahead and send them in.
That would help us a bunch, guys. No, in reality, I mean, people often I didn't always think through when you have a ministry that really blesses you. You're not always thinking through that ministry is there because somebody is not just praying, but also giving towards the ministry. And so that needs to be you. If you're listening to the show and it blesses you, we need your help. And so you can join with us and participate with us. Luke, do you have comments for us?
Adur.
And as you pull those up, let me tell all of our listeners, very important thing. What's today? Today's the 6th officially. So it's August 6th right now as we're recording. We're recording this August officially. Non-officially, it's the 9th. we're recording this episode. We pre-record our shows. They air on Saturday. So if you're listening to us on Saturday, there's a pre-recorded show. But right now, we are preparing to have Dr. James White join us at Apologia Church on Thursday, August 7th. So if you're listening to this on Saturday, it's too late. It's over. But if you get this show between tonight and tomorrow before we actually have it, we are meeting at Arizona Community Church. Dr. James White is teaching my Bible study for me on our Biblical Apologetics course. And he's talking to us about Islam. And so it is open to anybody who wants to come. Dr. James White teaching about Islam at Apologia Church. Pretty sweet, huh?
Got Dr. Are we going to record it?
Yeah.
That's big time right there.
Dr. White teaching my Bible study. Just a Bible study. You want to come on over and teach Bible study? Sure, I'll teach Bible study. Yeah.
What was it that he called us for being up late?
Hippies. He called us hippies because we have our Bible studies so late, I suppose. Still trying to figure out what that means.
Yeah.
But you're all invited to come. We meet at Arizona Community Church. It's south of Rural and Warner. On the east side of the road, Arizona Community Church in Building G. If you hit me up with a question like, what's the address? I'm going to send you to Google. Arizona Community Church in Tempe, south of Rural and Warner, Building G, 7:30 p.m. open to everybody. Building G, 7:30, Dr. James White at Apologia Church. We've had some pretty sweet teachers at Apologia Church, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
John Sampson.
Mm-hmm.
What's up? John Sampson.
Mm-hmm.
12 whatabouts. Drinks a lot of tea.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful man. It's like a big teddy bear. Always bring gifts.
Yes.
Okay. And then we have Dr. James White, mm-hmm. just teaching a weekly Bible study. It's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And Vocab Malone, who's all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah. And
we've had Sam Shermoon.
Yeah. Sam Shermoon. Yeah, it's pretty sweet. You should come to Apologia Church. If you listen to the show and you're in Arizona, you should come to Apologia Church. You should come.
If you're not in Arizona, there's still time to get here. It's not until tomorrow night.
Yeah. We do have people hit us up often. I've got two in the last month. They'll say, Jeff, I'm really considering moving my family out to Arizona. And so, I mean, that's pretty sweet. I mean, we'll take you, but we do have restrictions. I should probably announce on the air. We have, you know, you should not just, like, pull your family up and uproot them and come to Arizona to Apologia Church without a job, being able to provide for your family, you know, and know this, that we are not superheroes. We do not walk on water. Only one guy does that. And
it is hot.
Yes, it is very hot. Be prepared to suffer through the summertime here in Arizona, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty awful, yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Arizona, found a snake twice in the last month and a half, I think, and like one in my house, one outside my house, and you found like...
Well, my daughter found a scorpion in her room last night, but she goes out with me every night to kill them. We go hunting for them, but in her room, that's the first time we found it in the house. So.
We go hunting for scorpions.
Scorpions, as she would say.
Other people are like doing what are those things you run around a neighborhood, scavenger hunts?
Yeah.
You know, can I have some cookies and some milk and some Comet bleach, please? That's on my list. And we're doing little scavenger hunts for a look.
I like this. Your scavenger hunt voice.
You like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
The face is even better.
I always am interested when people do little voices for different things, like what their inspiration is.
I don't know. That's just what I remember back in my day.
That's just what I remember my voice being like when I scavenged.
Can I have a sock and a bottle cap, please? That laugh.
All right, comments. Quick, we got like a minute. Right,
yeah, okay.
Okay.
First one, Gospeliciousness by Jason G. Dub. Gospeliciousness, there's a new level of it with these guys. Some other name, I hereby declare this to be your official name. Bear Joy.
Wait,
you guys are awesome.
No.
Calvinistic,
you have to read it. You can't do that.
Post-millennial, presuppositional, covenantal, theonomic, gospeliciousness. Thank you for your ministry. You all reading this, download, often glory. Okay, I will say, you've asked the fans to speak up.
Yeah, he just wrote
an absolutely genius blog article
on Apologetics website
on why your name should be the turtle.
But my son's name is Turtle.
I know. I don't agree with it, but it was very well done.
It was well done.
And the
well
people
reasoned.
Have spoken. Okay.
It was well reasoned.
Ricky Gantz by Ricky Gantz. I think we know Ricky Gantz. Just wanted to encourage the whole team in Apologia Radio. This show has been my favorite podcast to listen to each week. As a mailman, I listen to my audiobooks, good sermons, and of course, radio podcasts.
That sounds redundant.
There are some good radio podcasts out there, but you three seem to have the most fun and it flows naturally. Jeff is now falling out of his chair laughing. Not only do you have fun, but also deal with big issues that are helpful to the body of Christ. Keep up the good work. Thanks, mailman Ricky Gantz.
Thank
you. Just to clarify, Jeff thought he meant a male man.
As a mailman. Technically.
Officially.
Officially. As an official mailman, I want to say thank you.
Well, in this day and age, you may have to clarify.
Apologia Radio.
We'll be right back.
Psalm 72:5. May they fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations, may he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days, may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him. All nations serve him.
What was that?
That's some
Tarshish. Yes, she's Tarshish.
I knew you were going to fight on that. I knew it. I knew it. I don't know what it is about that verse.
Yes, Chewbacca Tarshish.
I don't know what it is
about. The word is Tarshish.
What is Tarshish?
What is Trebek? Tarshish?
Your mother, Trebek.
Your mother's Tarshish.
All right, guys. So that was Psalm 72. Just another verse that I think needs to be held on to. As Christians, that there was an expectation from the Old Testament into the New about the victory of the Messiah extending to all the nations and all the kings ultimately bowing before the Son, the Messiah. So think about that. I mean, verse after verse after verse multiplied that demonstrate that the expectation was that this Messiah was going to rule the nations and that he would have victory over the whole world. Psalm 110, one quoted often in the New Testament and by Paul specifically in 1 Corinthians 15, saying that he must reign until he has made all his enemies a footstool for his feet. So that was the expectation. And so I wanted to invite our friend Colin Pearson from the Bible Thumping Wingnut Show on to give us a little testimony as to how he came into a post-millennial understanding of eschatology. What's up, Cornrow?
What's up, the mouse?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Cornrow Colin Pearson. You may recognize him as an emaciated hacksaw Jim Duggan.
What's up, Cornrow?
What's up, Jeff?
All right, man. Hey, man, thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, tell everyone about the Bible Thumping Wingnut Show.
The Bible Thumping Wingnut Show is a podcast of a bunch of guys who hardly have any idea what we're doing. And we just talk about the Bible, theology. We talk about what other podcasts we're listening to because we are all just ordinary Christian folk, lay peoples that love to study and learn. And so we learn from what other people have said and what from what other people have studied as well as from what we read and just like to share and discuss, and it's fun.
Right on, man. Well, I wanted to ask you to give the listeners an understanding as to what convinced you about post-millennial eschatology. What were some of the verses? Just what was it that was so compelling to you that you said, all right, I believe that, and I'm going that direction, and I believe the scriptures teach that?
My journey to post-millennialism was a long one. I used to be a dispensationalist and journeyed through all of the other views of eschatology until I arrived at post-millennialism. But what really sold it for me and solidified my understanding was the realization that the mandate given to Adam, the dominion mandate to fill the earth and subdue it, was not just for fun. It was actually intended to be fulfilled. It wasn't just a command that God gave Adam that he intended for him to fail. He did intend for him to fail, but he intended for Christ to succeed. Mm. And so Christ, as the true second Adam, succeeds in every area, not just spiritually, but also in the earthly realm, has victory. And so as Adam was supposed to populate the earth physically and subdue the earth physically, Christ will populate the earth spiritually and subdue it spiritually.
Mm. So the dominion mandate, that's interesting because not every post-millennialist actually goes that direction. It's a powerful, powerful argument and one that I certainly follow, but they don't always catch the beauty and power of that specific angle that we start at the beginning as to what God's purpose was in creation and putting his image in the garden and telling him to go and subdue the earth. And to think through the fact, Colin, I think I'm in full agreement with you here that there's nothing in the scriptures that demonstrates that the dominion mandate has been abrogated in any way.
That's right. Yeah. If you trace the covenants from Adam to Noah, where the dominion mandate is even rearticulated, And then even down to Abraham, where he says exactly how it's going to happen. He says, you know, it's through you, Abraham, that all the nations will be blessed. Then you come up to Moses, where he says, the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied in the land. That's how Exodus starts. And then they become a nation. Then go down to the Davidic line, where we have the king who's going to take dominion, and David, a type of Jesus, and even prophesies of him in Psalms. Then when we finally come to Jesus in the New Testament, the last thing that he tells his disciples before he leaves is, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. I have dominion. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations. Disciple all the nations, yes, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So that's the articulation of the dominion mandate in the New Testament. And I've had the conversation with a number of people, and I don't see how you can consistently exegete that text and come to any other understanding except that there will be a time in the future when all the nations will be discipled.
Yes. So when you think through this issue of postmillennialism, and you have somebody in front of you, a brother who may not have ever even thought through these things, or a sister that's, you know, been raised dispensational, premillennial, or something like that, what is it that you do as a starting point to get the conversation going, or to get another brother or sister thinking about the scriptures on this issue? What do you go at first?
Because the primary distinction between postmillennialism and every other system is just the view of the nature of the inner Advent period. From now until Jesus comes, are things getting better, worse, or staying the same? And so I just go to the Great Commission, and I say, okay, it says, therefore, go. But wait, what is the therefore? Therefore, back up one verse. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Disciple all the nations. And I said, if the basis for the command to disciple all the nations is the absolute, undeniable authority of Jesus Christ in every aspect of creation, should we expect success or failure?
That's right.
And I've never had anyone tell me failure.
Yeah. I agree with you, Colin. It's interesting to point another brother or sister to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and just to really hang on the beginning portion there, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. We don't often see it that way. What's a story you can give to us as to how this has affected you in your life and ministry?
For the longest time, I thought that eschatology was the least important thing to study, because it seemed complex to me. It seemed like, you know, there were a lot of different views, and so, you know, if there were that many different views, it doesn't really matter. You know, we can all just agree to disagree. But once I realized that my understanding of eschatology actually affected how I read Scripture, how I study the Bible, and how I do ministry, like, it just changed my perspective on literally everything. So whereas before I would have thought, you know, politics, kind of, you know, not really into politics, now I'm all fired up about politics because I realize that the gospel actually applies to politics. The gospel applies to everything. It applies to my family life at home.
We'll be right back. Colin, hang on to that. We'll get you right when we come back.
We'll be right back.
Guys, back at Apologia Radio. Get us at apologiaradio.com. Quick reminder.
What, Joy? Your face is going to explode. She's over there just like reading something.
What? Is she looking at cats?
I don't know. Like, she's like, no, literally, okay, looks like she's
so
about to burst.
Are you looking at cats
again? It's not my fault. It's not my fault because BuzzFeed has this animal newsletter now that they send out on Monday.
It's not
Wednesday.
Her fault that she was reading it during the radio show.
No, it's so like,
it's
it
not
always,
my fault.
It always lines up with I'm sitting in the studio and this email comes in. And it's the BuzzFeed Animal Newsletter, which everyone should sign up for, by the way. And then it's just, there's always just hilarious videos, and they're just cute, and they're funny.
Listen, there's nothing good about vegans that like fluffy animals. I'm just going to throw that out there right now.
That's right. So if anybody's thinking about dating somebody like that, they shouldn't.
Never.
I can't support, I mean, for many reasons, I can't support what's going on right now.
Are we ever going to do a show where you're not looking at animals?
Are we going to ever do a show where you guys aren't mad at me for looking at animals?
I love cats. I love every kind of cat. I just want to hug all of them.
This particular funny video was of a bunny. So it wasn't a cat. It was a bunny.
Also, Joyce theme song.
Cats aren't animals.
Also, I learned that worms communicate by snuggling together. Isn't that just so cute?
That makes sense why you see them all bunched together like that.
Yeah, they're snuggling.
There's nothing cute about worms.
They are
sorry.
Cute.
I can't believe this is happening.
I don't even. This show just took a turn for the worse.
All right. Okay, Colin.
To make it even worse, Colin's still on the line.
Help us, Colin. All right, man. All right. Back to some righteous theological discussion.
Let me just say this first. I believe you're pronouncing Colin's last name incorrectly. I believe his last name is pronounced Pearson.
It actually comes from the Scottish clan MacPherson, so it's not
terribly. Oh, hey, MacPherson!
I believe mine actually is Swedish.
Swedish? You can't be Swedish. You're too big.
Look at me, dude. I'm like,
you're a Philistine.
Straight up Viking, dude.
You are what I'm saying, McPhilistine.
McPhilistine.
All right, Colin, we want to talk about, again, how post-millennialism has affected your life and your ministry. So that's, I think, one of the compelling things that I want to get across to people is just how this impacts us on the ground. I always say that eschatology matters. I know Dr. White always says theology matters. Agreed. But also eschatology matters. It impacts your life. How has it impacted you, your ministry, and everything else? You were talking about politics and everything, and I'm going to give you a chance to finish that.
Yeah, it just, when you have a perspective of the future that the victory that Christ won on the cross is actually going to be played out in history until the consummation, that he will fill the earth and subdue it spiritually, then from my perspective, I look at it as I've got a whole lot of work to do, and I need to get busy. Whereas before, I thought, well, you know, Jesus is just going to, you know, I'll do stuff, I'll do ministry, but if I fail, it's okay, because Jesus will come back and rescue us all out of it. But when you look at it from the perspective of Christ is going to reach the nations through us, through the preaching of the gospel, then it just totally flips your perspective around. Like, I need to get my feet on the ground to get busy. We got lots of work to do.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to get that across. You know, here's the thing that I'm sort of committed to, and I'm fine with everybody knowing this, is that I want to point people to Christ and to his word and what the Bible says about the victory of the Messiah in history, not just at the end of history. And I want people to be convinced by the scriptures. And I think the scriptures are overflowing with texts that just scream to us about the victory in the Messiah. But in the end, though, Colin, I'm committed to this. I want to convince people with a life transformed by these truths. I want people to see in my life and in the ministry that God has given to us, I want people to see that this really does change your perspective, and you can see the clear difference between someone who has a post-millennial view of the future and someone has a dispensational premillennial view of the future. You can see a clear difference in how they live, move, breathe in the world, how they raise their kids, how they plan for the future, how they leave a legacy.
Agreed.
Okay.
Glory.
Glory. All right, glory. Good, glory. Got it. All right, guys. J-Man, what do we got left? We got 1 minute left?
Yeah, 40 seconds.
This is ridiculous. There's not enough time on this show. How does vocab do it with this 2 minute show?
I don't know.
That show is like 8 minutes long. You know, I listened.
Fast.
Hey, by the way, Bible Thumping Wingnut
show.
I listened to the last episode where you play clips from our show. Praise God for that. Thank you for the shout out. But I also caught the little slam that was in there to vocab. I liked it. You said, we love Backpack Radio. It's awesome. They pack a lot into a really short time period. It's a good show. I was like, agree. I like that.
Well done.
That was a little. I want to interpret that as a veiled slam.
Mm-hmm. Backhand.
You're welcome to do that.
Yes. ApologiaRadio.com. Be
right back.
Sorry, is that a thumbs up? Okay.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that.
Welcome back to Apologia Radio. This is the Bear in the studio with Joy. skilly jeans, and the something. With special guests on the other line, Cornrow.
What up?
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we're going to do a special segment here. We've never done this before. We're going to play a game. Well, I'm not going to play the game. I'm going to host the game. And it's going to be a competition between J-Man.
So exciting.
And Cornrow. And it's called Who It Is. So I've got some facts about the people here in the studio. And you guys are going to guess. And the winner gets a kick in the pants. So
I wanted to bet Skinny Chaps to see... if I win, he cannot see the Star Wars movie for the whole first week it comes out.
No, no way, dude.
I knew he wouldn't bet
that.
What
do I have to win in that? That's, what would you have? Okay, so if you lose, then what happens?
Would you believe I really like the Hunger Games or something? I won't go see that.
Would you believe?
It's not even a fair bet.
Okay.
Skinny Chaps, really? You know that's
it's evolving.
Okay. Those, these nicknames don't stay in the studio. They get announced at church in front of everyone,
yeah,
right?
Jeff just does it for fun.
They do. That's a true story, yeah. When he's about to give the benediction, he's like, and Tyrannosaurus Pex over here, and such and such.
Anytime you linger on the stage.
After it's all emotional, it just got done worshiping. Anyway, I'm sorry.
If you hang out around me long enough, I just have to say something.
It's true.
Okay, so are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Yes.
You got my levels back up, J-Man?
I do.
Why is it not playing? There we go. Okay. So we'll let J-Man go first. So first question. I'm going to say this. There's only one person in the studio here that is a native Arizonan. Zonian. How do you say that? Arizonian. Zonian.
Arizonite.
Okay. So J-Man, three of us are not from Arizona. That's what that means. Okay.
I know it's not you.
No, I'm no.
Well, yeah, because he didn't even know how to say Arizonian or Arizona, whatever.
First, which one of us is born in Las Vegas?
Las Vegas. I want to say that's Jeff.
Dang it. Got it.
Okay. Oh, I didn't have my sound effects. I'll have them now. Okay. Colin.
What?
Which one of us was born in Sitka, Alaska?
You.
Wrong!
He's going to be so mean. Wrong!
I'm not going to tell you who. Okay, J-Man,
wait.
Your turn. I will.
Okay.
But if I, it's going to narrow it down.
Oh.
J-Man, which one of us was born?
Oh, yeah.
Well, which one of us was born in Arizona?
I'm going to say Joy was born in Arizona.
J-Man is 2-for-2. My sound effects still aren't working. Sorry. Okay, next. Which one of us was born in Grand Rapids, Michigan?
Is that
Colin,
one for me?
Colin.
What just happened?
What
room of the house are you in right now, Colin?
I didn't even hear what you said.
Did you say Jeremy?
Yeah.
No,
Jeremy's not in the game. Okay.
You're wrong again.
Okay. I was born in Grand Rapids. Elliot was born in Sitka, Alaska. Next question. Man, Colin, you're not doing so
good. That music? That was good. That had a little good...
The Jeopardy music?
Yeah, that was good.
Well, I'm trying to get my sound effects going, but you know how SoundCue likes to crash every 2 minutes.
Mm.
Okay, next question. Middle names. Back to J-Man. Which one of us, middle name, was named after Lil Wayne?
Just by her reaction, is it Joy?
Wrong. Lil Wayne. Colin, well, I'll give you a chance to answer, Colin. Which one of us' middle name is named after Lil Wayne?
Jeff.
Ding, ding, ding. Okay.
That's not entirely true. He's not named after
Lil Wayne. Sure he is.
His middle name is Wayne, but...
It wasn't after.
Okay. J-Man, it's your turn.
That boy good. I'm going to name my boy after that.
There's another one of us whose middle name was named after a Jet Li movie, Romeo Must Die.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to say that's Skinny Jeans.
Oh!
That's not me.
It's not? Oh, I was wrong.
Oh, man, I got excited.
What's your middle name?
Did you just say my middle name is Romeo?
Isn't that what it is?
No, dude. That's why I said, where did you check these facts? Romeo.
What's your middle name?
I mean, I'll take it, but, you know.
Dude, people have this amazing picture painted of Elliot right now. He's wearing skinny, buttless chaps.
And his name is Romeo.
I thought you said it was Romeo.
No, dude. I showed you my license.
No, you did. I never seen your license.
It's Ronaldo.
Ronaldo. That's what it is. I called you Elron. That's right. I thought it was Romeo. Ronaldo's even funnier.
Do I still get the points for that?
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Dude.
Awesome.
Romeo. What?
So Ronaldo must Ronaldo must die.
Ronaldo must
I told
die.
You I need to check all my facts.
Yeah, you do.
I forgot to check that one. Okay. Here. Whose turn is it? We'll go to Colin. Colin.
All right.
Two of us in the studio are legitimate champions of something. I'll let you guess which
the two. The others are losers.
Which two are not, because I know you already know who one of them is, because it's all he talks about.
I do not talk about it all the time. That's a lie.
So which two in here are not champions of anything ever?
Luke and Elliot.
Wrong. Well, one of them's right.
You're right. I am a champion.
No, it's sure Elliot and Joy. Elliot and Joy.
This is the most cruel line of questioning ever. Who in here sucks?
Animal hugging not count as a champion?
I've won two football championships, but I don't talk about it.
Which person
doesn't
amount to anything ever?
Huh?
I am a champion.
Go.
What?
Bull riding champion.
Of your mom? Don't say it.
No, if we're talking about team sports,
well,
the marching band I was in
won
state championships.
That's why I asked you if you were a legitimate champion.
I don't know.
So just Elliot's own loser.
I haven't won anything.
I have a point of contention. This man to my left won smallest hands west of the Mississippi.
Okay. Next question.
They couldn't give me a ring.
The trophy's just a small little pair of hands.
What am I supposed to say to this?
Okay.
All my thoughts are mean.
Wait, this perfectly leads us into the next question. I believe it's J-Man's turn. Which one of us is shaped like an ice cream cone?
Why did you think of these questions?
84-inch chest, 27-inch waist,
dude,
and Cabbage Patch doll hands.
I'm going to take a wild stab at this. I'm going to go with Elliot, maybe, possibly.
I don't have skinny legs. I don't look like an ice cream cone.
People are going to have no idea how to paint a middle picture.
I want somebody to do, like, he's never seen me before.
Yes.
Just paint a caricature of me, and, like, I want to send it in.
Someone listening, draw a picture of Elliot without referencing any actual photos of Elliot. Just
crying.
So you can see, like, what the image is.
I'm going to look like the aliens from War on the World. Just like a giant.
Huge pecs, teeny tiny hands, buttless leather chaps, and ice cream feet.
This is why you brought me in today, huh?
Okay.
I didn't wonder why I was being asked to be here.
Okay. Colin.
None of this is real.
Colin, sir.
Okay.
Which one of our mothers, not your mom, one of our moms, has dual citizenship?
Joy.
Wrong. And Colin.
I'm not good at this game.
I think he's all upset. He's like, I would know this.
Come on, Colin.
It's actually my mother. My mother was born in Africa.
Cool.
She's truly African American. It's true. Okay, moving on. J-Man, three of us in here play instruments. Can you guess which one is not? That'll make it easier. Which one of us is not?
Joy. Well, now I know Joy is a champion.
Oh, that's
yeah.
She gave it
so
away.
Could be yodeling champion.
So yeah, and I know you have a guitar. You play all that good stuff. So it's got it's Jeff. No, I'm gonna say Elliot.
Oh, I'm the only one who doesn't play an instrument.
No, I meant Jeff. Jeff does not play an instrument.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. Oh, okay.
Actually,
sweet.
This is also incorrect. I played the saxophone growing up.
You did?
Yep.
You also played the instrument of death.
It's a good thing that people know me from the show as anything but Apologia's worship leader. I thought I would be the most obvious as who plays an instrument.
He just plays, like he snaps his fingers.
Well, I had no idea Jeff played an instrument because he has no rhythm.
The only
rhythm.
Thing anyone can even think of is ice cream when they look at you.
Because I'm the sweetest.
Well, apparently I was wrong, so you got the question right. But
well, I don't currently play an instrument.
Okay, so
I
do one. Okay.
I stopped playing it because the reed started smelling really bad. I was like, I'm not touching that.
You play the glow sticks.
To change the reed. You know what? That, right?
He did play the glow. He made. He
that's
played
why
a mean
reeds
glow stick.
Come in a pack of like five.
I thought that's like if you have several instruments.
You change the reed.
It smelled terrible.
Yeah.
I still remember it.
It should have. It was made of wood and I put your spit on it.
Colin. Colin. Colin, you still there, Colin? Okay. One of us lived in Chicago, but the other one of us has eaten the most food in Chicago. Do you know who is who? My headphones are being stupid.
You used to live in Chicago, and Jeff has eaten the most food in Chicago.
I didn't hear what the first thing he said. Sorry, my headphones.
He said
going
you
out.
Used to live in Chicago. Okay.
You used to live in Chicago, Luke. You live in Chicago. Jeff, eat food.
Well, you're wrong on both. Elliot actually lived in Chicago.
I did.
I didn't live in Chicago, but I definitely ate the most food in Chicago.
Obviously.
But that was a tricky one because I always talk about being from Chicago, but I'm technically not from Chicago.
Chicago sausage.
Yes, sausage.
Sausage.
Let me get a Polish sausage. Okay, last question. Back to J-Man. Two of us have lived in four states. Which two?
You have lived in four states.
No. Oops, sorry, I hit the wrong button.
Oh, I was like, oh, wait.
Okay, who else?
And then I'm going to say Elliot.
No.
That one was wrong. You got one of them. I'll give you half a point.
We'll get one more guess.
Okay, no.
Just random.
The rules, I make them up.
As we go.
Okay, that's right. Colin, one of us has lived in three states. Are you there, Colin?
Yeah, I'm thinking Jeff.
No.
Sorry, that's incorrect as well. One of us has lived in one state. J-Man, you can get this one. Come on.
That's got to be Joy, right? Never left Arizona.
Nope.
Good job, J-Man. You get the other half a point. So I've lived in four. Jeff's lived in four. Elliot's lived in three. And Joy's never moved.
I lived in three countries, though.
And Jeff has lived in three countries.
Yeah, so Jeff wins. He's a champion. You're
good. That's all he talks about.
So, unfortunately...
Didn't your karate school used to be named Champion Karate?
Actually, it was.
Best in the world karate.
Yeah.
Best in the world, no one's better ever karate.
So, J-Man, you won 5-1.
I'm still not going to
say that. Oh, landslide.
But you win a kick in the pants, so I don't know if that's actually winning.
Oh, no. Do we have to do this later, next hour or something?
Yes, we're going to video it.
Dang it.
Thank you for playing.
Hey, you know, just Hugh Hewitt just sat down in front of me in the adjacent studio.
Yeah, I know.
That's what happens here at Apologia Radio.
We should have had him play the game.
Yeah, I'm looking at his
beautiful hair.
His beautiful white head of hair. That's a lot of wisdom right there. That's a lot of wisdom. It's a crown of wisdom right there. I'm looking right into his eyes. Hi, Hugh Hewitt. Hello.
It's like Gandalf the White. You know, it gets all...
Yeah, it looks like Gandalf with a good haircut. No beard, though. So he lost all his power. That's why he hides behind that microphone. He's not a man.
Whoa. Whoa.
That just went...
I'm just kidding.
Very quickly. Well,
I just evolved. All right, guys. So check it out. Second hour. We got some more stuff coming up. We are actually going to equip you with some important stuff. We're going to play clips of discussions I've had with atheists right here in this studio. Dan Barker, the vice president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We're going to play clips. I think we'll keep Colin on the air. Colin, can you stay with us?
Yeah.
We'll keep Colin on the air. We'll go through some clips of some debate stuff, equip you on defending the faith. Don't miss it, guys. Stay with us. ApologiaRadio.com is where you join our donation drive. Hang with us, guys. Be right back. ApologiaRadio.com.
How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward? Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps, local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com. The profanation of marriage is gaining legs within our culture with the same-sex marriage debate. This is, church, a gospel issue. We have to be salt. We must be light on this issue of same-sex marriage.
This is Joy Temby with Apologia Radio. I urge you guys to pray for the homosexual community, then log on to realharmony.org to equip yourselves with the resources we've provided.
This is the Ministry Bear. Here's the issue. The same-sex attracted community has a symbol that's universally recognized. It's an equal sign. You see it everywhere. Until now, the Christian community has not had a symbol that represents true, harmonious, biblical marriage. Go to realharmony.org and buy a sticker. They're $3 a piece. Get your church to buy them by the truckloads. Help us redeem the culture. And let me reiterate, this is not a political issue only. This is a gospel issue. Realharmony.org.
Back to Apologia Radio. It's the gospel heard around the world. ApologiaRadio.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, guys. Go get it. Leave comments. Rate us there. Get Apologia Radio ahead of a lot of these podcasts run by charlatans and spiritual con artists, guys like Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, Joyce Meyer, and all the rest. Also, go and like and subscribe to Bible Thumping Wingnut with our boy, Colin Pearson, Cornrow.
Pearson.
What's up? Are you still with us? You still with us, right, Cornrow?
You can look us up on iTunes, SoundCloud. We broadcast live on Mixlr, mixlr.com/Bible Thumping Wingnut. And like, rate, review, let us know what you think.
Word. All right, guys. So, I wanted to do a show where we actually pull together some clips that might be helpful for you to think through. Let's see here. So a lot of stuff you online you guys can check out on our Apologia Church channel on YouTube, ApologiaChurch.com, past sermons, and ApologiaRadio.com for all of the past episodes. A lot of stuff is in there. And one of the things a lot of people don't know you can go to is at RedemptionRadio.podbean.com. I know it's kind of a weird, long handle, but it's redemptionradio.podbean.com. We had about 2 years of episodes on Redemption Radio that were sponsored by the hospital that I was working for at the time. And so there's some good content there, some excellent guests. We've had Dr. White on there, Michael Brown. We had Michael Kruger on The Canon. I mean, some fantastic stuff. Guy Waters, just really great stuff. There's tons of stuff there. So go check those out. But in the process of having these two shows, Redemption Radio and then Apologia Radio, we're able to get some really great content. One of the things to think through today in our culture, when we engage in the secular community, atheists, agnostics, the unbelieving world, is the issue of uniformity, to think through that uniformity nature. A lot of people don't realize just how devastating this issue is for the unbeliever. Okay, when we talk about uniformity in nature, we're not just coming at it from the issue of like intelligent design. There's clear design. All of life hangs on a razor's edge, like Christopher Hitchens said in his debate movie with Douglas Wilson, he said one of the strongest arguments for a creator is all of life is on a razor's edge and everything else. We're not coming at it necessarily from that angle. We're talking about the issue of induction, that we need to be able to assume that the future will be like the past. Now, listen, everyone does this because they're in the image of God. They depend upon the uniformity in nature, or that the future will be like the past. Listen, you cannot do logic. You cannot do science. You cannot walk your dog
without the uniformity in nature, the principle of induction. And listen, this problem is not simply a problem brought to the unbelieving worldview by Christians as a cute argument, as something the presuppositionalist has conjured up. This is, in fact, a problem that all worldviews have to deal with. You can look at the Scottish skeptic David Hume and see him writing on the problem of induction. You can see Bertrand Russell, famous atheist, in his book Problems in Philosophy. He has a whole section on induction. This is not simply a cute argument brought or a word game or trick brought by the presuppositionalist to the atheist, as some people try to suggest today. That's an easy answer. That's an easy way out for them. But this is a problem that all worldviews have to answer. You're appealing to induction right now, the uniformity in nature. And we need to talk about that in the light of the issue of miracles in the world and all the rest. But to think through that issue of induction for now, let's play a clip with Dan Barker from Redemption Radio. Here we go.
Well, when I test the Bible, I find out when you test all things, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. The Bible is not one of those things that is good.
That's your claim. But what I'm saying is, Dan, you're appealing to uniformity in nature. But if you're with Krauss and Dawkins on this, they were just speaking at Gamage here. They said that the physical constants are ultimately they could be accidents, and it's just ultimately time and chance acting on matter. That we're just basically stardust. And Dawkins said three times in 60 seconds that we're apes. And it doesn't seem to me to be a rationally a strong foundation to believe all of that and then be appealing to the uniformity you were with the pen dropping example.
Why not? In this universe, in this particular cosmos that we inhabit, that's the way
things are. It's just that way. So you accept that by faith. You don't know that.
That's not by faith. We accept it because we observe it.
Well, let's try this. Well, maybe you can answer me this, Dan. Try this. You say that we observe that it's that way, but you don't have any justification for it being that way in the future. You just have faith that it will be, but your worldview is time and chance acting on matter. And aren't I correct here?
That's not faith. That is a reasonable expectation.
Would you call it confidence?
A confidence based on a high level of probability. All factual claims are claims of probability. And all of us would say we might be wrong. Dawkins would even say
you might be wrong. The pen may go to the ceiling tomorrow.
Exactly. But
right.
So far, the probability, based on past experience and based on Bayes' theorem and so on, is that you would bet that it would not go to the ceiling tomorrow. In another iteration of the Big Bang, and the laws and the constants might be different than they are. Vic Stenger writes about this to a great degree, arguing that, in fact, the universe is not that fine-tuned for life.
Well, do you live that way, though, Dan? Do you live like it's a gamble? Do you live like it's not that way?
Well, eventually we have to round it off. Eventually we have to come to a point where we say, well, I'm going to have to make it. Otherwise, I'm frozen, right? So if I sit down in a chair, I'm 99.9% sure that chair is going to hold me up. But it might not. And in a few cases, it doesn't. In a few cases, the chair has broken. But we have to get through life. And so we round it off. We go with the probabilities, even though we don't have 100% certainty.
But when that chair breaks, though, Dan, do you say that was a miracle or that the laws of physics have now gone awry? Or do you investigate the chair to see if there was something else wrong with it because nature is uniform? Do you believe that's a miracle?
No, exactly. I would then adjust my expectations
because of the uniformity
in
nature. Do you see the circularity there that a Christian would point out to you, that you're appealing to the uniformity in nature the entire time? But it doesn't seem to me that you have a future justification, except to say, well, it's always been that way, and we think it might be. It's kind of a gamble. And I just don't see, Dan, I mean this respectfully towards you, how that foundation gives you a solid basis for doing science or reasoning, which is what you say you fight for.
But what's the problem with that? We all scientists are admitting
that. It's too much blind
faith.
We
all admit that. Well, we all admit that no historical claim is 100%.
I couldn't live that way, Dan. I personally couldn't. I couldn't live saying, well, it's a gamble. Maybe today, but not tomorrow. I mean, maybe
you can't live that way for some reason, but many of us can. Many of us.
You have a lot of faith.
We don't need absolute certainty.
Right.
We are not fundamentalists in our binary brains. We realize that there is gray. We live our lives in the gray area, and we go with it.
All right, so there was Dan Barker. That is the co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. You guys know him from Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, especially during Christmas time. He's the atheist who stole Christmas. He's always putting the billboards up, all over Christmas time has been your favorite time to do their big pushes. And he's always on Fox News trying to attack somebody for celebrating Christmas as an atheist at some point. So that's Dan Barker. All right. Commentary. Colin, you want to make a commentary on that as you hear for the first time, and we'll sort of we'll chop it up together.
Yeah, sure. That one of the things that it seems like he just did not see and could not perceive was that the rational thought processes that were going on in his head in order to answer your question actually assume induction as well.
Describe that for someone new to this. What do you mean?
So all the chemistry and stuff that goes on in your brain assumes all this chemistry and stuff that goes on in your brain to produce your thought processes, the rational discourse that you guys were having there, all of those chemical reactions depend on the consistency, because if the chemical reaction worked differently now than it did yesterday, then your thoughts would be different and be inconsistent. So in order to think rationally, you have to have scientific induction. The chemical reactions in your brain have to continue to function the same way.
Yes. Yeah, and then there's the immaterial aspect of conceptual abstractions and all exactly. The rest of the things that we think about in the sense of induction and that we need to have. Now, a lot of people might be thinking right now, wow, this is like heavy and never thought through this. It's as simple as this. You assume that the future will be like your past experience all the time. Everybody does. The Christian does. The atheist does. The Buddhist does. The Muslim does. Everybody does. Okay. The atheist wants a blind faith leap, okay, on the issue of the future being like the past. All they know is that in past experience, nature was uniform. And they'll say, based on that, I think the future will be like that. But the truth is, if you think about their claim about what the world actually consists of, time and chance acting on matter, no governance, no guidance, no purpose, no personal God giving to it any order. When you think about that worldview, their claim that the future will be like the past is ultimately just a blind leap of faith. They don't know. And this is why, look, you have as well-known of an atheist as Dan Barker, you have somebody that's revered by many atheists just granting ultimately, well, we live in the gray. And, well, I guess we got to round it off. Now, you got to understand something. That is a very serious admission. When he's on our radio program and he admits that he doesn't ultimately know and we have no real absolute certainty about this and we sort of just round it off, what you see is an atheist that is living his life by nothing more than simple blind faith. So I asked him, I said, that's just faith. You've got a lot of faith, Dan. And he says, no, it's not faith. I said, would you say it's confidence? And he says, yeah, that's a lot of confidence in past experience. Well, what is confidence? Confides is two words. It just means with faith. So he is with faith in his past experience. Listen to Bertrand Russell on the issue of induction. He says in his Problems in Philosophy, by the way, he's an atheist. Here's what he says. The inductive principle, however, is equally incapable of being proved by an appeal to experience. Experience might conceivably confirm the inductive principle as regards the cases that have already been examined. But as regards unexamined cases, it is the inductive principle alone that can justify any inference from what has been examined to what has not been examined. It says here, the general principles of science, such as the belief in the reign of law and the belief that every event must have a cause, are as completely dependent upon the inductive principle as are the beliefs of daily life. Do you get that? That is, yeah. Bertrand Russell saying that this principle is at the bottom of everything that we do. But he admits ultimately that in his position, if you don't start with God from an unbelieving perspective, they don't have a justification for the principle of induction for future experience. Only the Christian ultimately does. Why? Revelational epistemology. God has spoken. And we have the confidence that the future will be like the past because of that revelation. We'll be right back. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Yeah.
ApologiaRadio.com, talking about the problem of induction. Famous scene you want to go check out. Go to YouTube. Look up Greg Bonson-Gordon Stein debate. Dr. Bonson pressed Gordon Stein on the issue of induction. No answer coming from Gordon Stein, and ultimately from no other atheist. I heard an atheist the other day describing the issue of induction and a presuppositionalist pressing this upon the unbeliever. And again, this is not simply a presuppositionalist parlor trick. It's a philosophical challenge that refutes your position, Mr. Atheist. And I heard an atheist talking about the problem of induction the other day. And it was funny. He was bringing up the issue that presuppositionalists will press this on the unbeliever because it's fundamental. It's talking about the preconditions for intelligible human experience. Atheists have tried to answer this. Skeptics have tried to answer this. Christians answer this. And this unbeliever says, well, it's just, you know, a parlor game, and it's just, it's special pleading, and on and on and on. And this other person on this radio program with this unbeliever, it's, I think it's called, I forget, Unbeliever radio program or something like that. And this woman asks the question, well, like, explain induction. And he starts explaining the principle of induction, the future will be like the past. And then he basically says, well, we have to assume that, or we'll die. Like, that's his, or we'll die, or we can't do anything. Right. Right. Well, we have to have this, or we can't do anything. Right. Isn't it amazing that the unbeliever so desperately clings to this ultimate starting point for himself as a gimme and says, just give me this as an ultimate starting point, because if I don't have this, I can have nothing. And he grabs onto this ultimate starting point that is just a faith commitment. He has no justification for future experience. And then he comes over here and he chastises the Christian for having an ultimate starting point that in fact can make coherent the appeal to induction. Here's what I'm saying here. It's not special pleading when you hold yourself to the actual standard you're challenging somebody on. You see, isn't it amazing that the unbeliever today, the atheist, believes that he is a bag of stuff that will be gone and dust one day, and that's all there is. No justice ahead of anybody. No governance or order to the universe. That's it. We are all the descendants of fish and bacteria. And yet he has such a viciously strong commitment to induction. It absolutely contradicts everything he does every moment of his life. All right, guys. So there is the principle of induction. Pastor Luke, you have something to say on induction? Or
no, I was just going to say, excuse me, it's it seems, I've been noticing lately, and it reminded me when I was listening to that clip. I don't know if you've had this interaction with a lot of atheists lately. It seems like they seem to have this attitude of, you know, when you question them on whether on not being able to justify, say, induction or morality or anything like that, anything really, they seem to have an attitude of, well, who cares?
Yeah.
And I mean, I literally the other day was interacting with an atheist, and I was, you know, questioning who justifies morality. He literally said, who cares? I said, yeah. Well, then why are you coming after me for something?
Yeah.
So this seems to be this attitude. It seems like that's the kind of the direction it's going. Is one, they kind of seem to don't even recognize that they can't justify stuff. But yeah. Then two, I think it's driven by, well, it doesn't matter, who cares?
It's a hatred for God anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
It's ultimately what we say, yeah, is suppression of truth. It's a hatred for God anyways, ultimately. Right. And I always find it just astonishing that when you have a Christian that says, well, I accept God's revelation, all of my experience is intelligible. I start with his revelation. I can make sense of the appeal to induction that I make and the appeal to the value and dignity of a human being and to laws of logic and into immaterial entities. I can actually make sense of it with God's revelation. I start with that. And the unbeliever mocks you as a Christian. Oh, that's just stupid and ignorant religious nutcase. And then all of a sudden you start pressing them. Well, how do you justify your appeal to the uniformity in nature? You can't do anything without that assumption.
Right.
How do you do it? He just goes, I just do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to have it or I die. It's like, that's an amazing leap that to criticize the Christian that I can actually make sense of experience through starting with God's revelation and is not engaging in foolishness. And then when you're pressed on it as an atheist, you actually say, because?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why do you appeal to induction? Because I die. It's like whatever. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And this is the substance of their arguments. They try to sound very sophisticated and very erudite and pull on, you know, that's this logical fallacy or that logical fallacy. When in reality, all they have is a completely childish hold onto an answer because... Because, I mean, that's the answer. Okay, sorry, here we go. Colin, you want to jump in real fast? Anything there that I said?
Oh, I just thought it was fascinating that the typical response to what you were saying, Luke, is who cares? Because that same response can be turned back on them when they say, well, I don't believe the Bible. Who cares?
Right, exactly.
So what?
If that's their attitude in the discussion, then everything just breaks down.
Yeah, start using that. The proverb says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. You can certainly do that when the unbeliever says, well, who cares? And then they say, you start criticizing Christ, just say, well, who cares? Well, the Bible's mythology. Yeah, well, who cares? Let's use your standard of reasoning. Ah, who cares, right? Who cares? I need to do that. All right, here we go. Redemption Radio now. This was Brett Strong, famous internet atheist, hostile and ferocious, vicious Brett Strong from JesusIsAHoaxBlogspot.com. See, I actually know that. JesusIsAHoaxBlogspot. We had Brett Strong on. Here we go. Here's the discussion.
The reason why we have is because we're not on the same page on most things.
Okay, Brett, are we on the same page? Is it wrong to rape a woman?
Yes, and tell us
who says
it's wrong.
Who
absolutely
says?
You're violating another individual.
Okay, ready? Brett, yes. your intelligence tells you that it is wrong, but the rapist intelligence tells him that he wants to do it and it's a good moral thing to do. So who's right? You or him?
Well, see, this is the point. That since we're individuals, it ultimately comes down to each individual. You know,
should the rapist go to jail?
Hang on one second. I'll give you a second to speak. Slavery, right? Let's take it back to your Christendom. Slave masters raped the women. They raped the girls. In their minds, they were morally correct. They were morally right, right? But they were able to get away with it because they had the might. Now the mic has switched up and saying, if you rape a woman in America, you will be put in prison.
So it's not really wrong. So given your Brett,
to Mike, it's always been that way, Jeff Durbin.
Brett,
it'll always be that
Brett,
way.
You
and
gotta,
you know it because Christendom shows it in the black slavery.
Brett,
in
if you don't let me get a word in, we're just going to have to take you off the show. This has to be a dialogue, Brett. When you bring up an issue, I want to make sure we get a chance to touch that. So what you're saying is that the society first. You said it was your own intelligence that determines the norm, and then you said the society determines the norm. So which is it? Is it personal preference or is it societal conventions? Which is it? Because those are two different things.
It's a personal preference. But when you get the majority of people agreeing upon a certain thing, then that becomes the law of the day.
So what you're saying then, I'm trying to reason through what you're saying. And so as we go into the next break, we'll play the rest when we get back here, guys. Interesting to demonstrate here that the unbeliever is just floating in the air when it comes to the issue of morality. It's personal preference. It's society determines this. And so you'll notice and hang on to this that Brett Strong, well-known ferocious atheist, says at the beginning of the discussion we had, there is no morality. And then here he is complaining about morality, and then ultimately falling back to, well, it's just up to your own personal preference. Then he's like, no, it's society that determines it. It's just a mishmash of confusion, which is no wonder the Bible says the fool says in his heart, there is no God. ApologiaRadio.com. We'll play the rest when we get back.
Apologia Radio. We'll be right back.
Talking more about responding to some important issues. All right. So we had Brett Strong on from JesusIsAHoaxBlogspot.com. The reason we got a hold of him initially was he was on the Unbelievable radio program with Justin Brierley, famous British radio program, and we heard him on there, and so we decided to call him up and do him on our show. And so we did two episodes. You can get him at redemptionradio.podbean.com. Atheist Brett Strong. Here are some more of the discussion on the issue of morality. The beginning of the show we did with him, he said there is no morality. There is no morality, and we are just animals, is what he says. And then now here he is arguing for morality as personal preference and then for societal convention. By the way, what does it mean, societal convention? Mm-hmm. Everyone gets together and determines what is good, what
Demas.
Is evil. Yeah, exactly. We determine what's good and what's evil. Here is, once again, Brett Strong.
A personal preference. But when you get the majority of people agreeing upon a certain thing, then that becomes the law of the day.
So what you're saying then, I'm trying to reason through what you're saying in a coherent way. First, you said it was personal preference. Then you said it was societal convention. So if it's societal convention, then that means you're saying that society determines what is good or bad, what's evil or not evil. And so if that's the case, then given that, it's not really wrong to rape a person, is it?
If the society one lives in allows it, then you can do it. That's just the way it is.
Thank you very much. So your atheism has led you to a worldview where rape is not really wrong, theft is not really wrong, there are no real objective standards of good or evil. You really are really actually displaying now the ultimate outcome of atheism, that it leads to no foundation, coherent, cogent foundation for morality, because it's just what someone wants to do. For example, given your atheism, what you've just given me, I have no moral complaint against Hitler. Hitler had the might to do what he did. The German people went along with him. They thought the Jews were non-persons. They look like people. They're not people. They're Jews. And based on that, he was fine. Correct?
Oh, yeah. In his society, he was fine. Absolutely.
Right. So that's good. I appreciate, though, the one thing I do respect about what you just answered is that you are being honest with where your atheism brings you. But here's what I'm going to say to you, Brett. You won't live that way.
And there we go. So that was a portion from that discussion. Powerful, right? Talk
good,
about that, guys. Colin, you could jump in here, too. What do you guys think?
I thought it was honest. Yeah. Colin, you just wait. I'm talking.
It's just atrocious what it really leads to. And unfortunately, there are actually atheists who wish to live consistently with that, like Hitler. And I don't even know what to say to that. At that point in time, what do you do?
Powerful admission. And here's the thing I think is important for everyone to pay attention to on that. And this is obviously by the grace of God. But pay attention to the difference between this kind of discussion we had with Brett Strong on the show and the discussion he had with a Christian on the Unbelievable radio program. Mm. He got a chance to complain and to criticize God and all the rest. And then when you start pushing on his foundations and you start asking to look at the man behind the curtain, you begin to see the collapse of atheism.
Well, and that's what always has stuck out to me about this type of argument is why are you so upset about what the Christian says is right or wrong? Why are you upset about as soon as you start to press them on the point, it's like, oh, but we'll look at what happened here in the Bible. We'll look at this and starting to make moral claims. Well, why does that bother you if it's a societal determination at that time that was okay, even though we know that not to be the case? So it's just a lot of inconsistency, a lot of, you know, he used the word mature a lot. He's like, well, once people reach a mature, well, what are you inferring by saying that? Your level of maturity? Are you determining what's mature? What if somebody else says that what you're doing is immature? So it's just a circular, unreasonable, argument to make, which ultimately falls apart.
Yeah, Romans 1 says their thoughts become futile. Professing to be wise, they become fools. Mm-hmm. And here's a man professing to be wise, writing absurd stuff about Jesus on his website and just a really silly book and just terrible reasoning. And he cannot even get a grip on his belief as to whether or not there's even a foundation for ethics. He says there is no morality. Then he starts complaining about what Christians are doing. I mean, when you come on a radio program and you say there's no morality, there's no oughts, and then you start complaining about what some supposed slave master did to somebody, you start throwing these things out about Paul being evil and all the rest, you just show the absolute collapse of your position. You cannot open your mouth about moral complaint when you've already taken it away from somebody. And that's what atheism is left with. Joy, you have any commentary on the Be Strong episode? Were you in the studio for the Be Strong? You were.
I don't know if I
was.
Didn't we have him on a few times?
We had him on twice. I think we did both shows back to back. You were on both shows.
Okay, yeah. Then I was. I didn't know for sure if I was on that exact episode. I was interested by him because he claims to not believe in morality, but he believes specifically in immaterial logic. You remember he tried to... Yeah.
That's right.
So that I'm still confused by that guy.
No, so am I. Be strong.
He's a character.
The only one.
Yeah. We'll be back. How's that sound? Good? Apology Radio.
We'll be right back.
picture in my mind. Elliot at the gym with his headphones on, just pumping like massive weight, just like oosh, 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 with his little ice cream feet dangling off the side of the bench.
I don't know why you want to picture me pumping and sweating at the gym. That's not right.
Did you see that picture going around of
the one that Lucas drew?
The one I just drew, yeah.
Planet Fitness. No, it's not a picture. It's a video of the guy at Planet Fitness. He's doing like an ab machine.
Yeah.
He's
eating pizza.
Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And he's stuffing, as he moves forward, he's stuffing his face with pizza at the same time.
I've never done that.
Beautiful.
I have gone to pizza directly after the gym, though.
That's a good idea. Yeah, that's good.
You've earned it.
You have earned it.
And maybe ice cream later.
Yes. That sounds good.
Is that
after.
Like cannibalism?
Actually, Luke and I are going to the abortion mill right after this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to preach the gospel.
I am.
Yeah. All right, guys.
You guys are welcome to come.
Yes, yeah, you are. Everyone's
thanks
welcome.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, we decided last night. We go ahead and do it. We found out their schedule. We had a little undercover operation going on, and we found out what their schedule is.
So this late in the day, huh?
Yeah.
Wednesdays, yeah. Yeah. In the morning and afternoon.
Yeah, they've moved their schedule to try to, you know, avoid us, and so we found out when, because we sent a little undercover in. Yeah. We did.
Yeah,
now
we
know when you're doing it. All right. All right, guys, here we go. Last segment today. We're going to talk more about some interesting discussions that need to be had with atheists and your unbelieving friends. And so this is more from atheist Brett Strong on Redemption Radio. The question I wanted to ask you was, you know, it's interesting. I never heard anybody actually describe laws of logic in this way that you know, most people would say that laws of logic are obviously conceptual in nature. They're more abstract laws. They are immaterial. But here's the question I would ask you. Are laws of logic in your atheist conception, are they necessary? Are they unchanging?
Oh, they're very necessary, because without logic, you can't live in reality.
Okay, so given that you don't believe in...
Laws of logic are absolutely necessary for one's life to be able to live it healthy and prosperous. Absolutely,
okay,
I agree.
So given you are an atheist and you don't believe God created you, and that you're not in his image, he didn't create us, that the God of the Bible is not who he says he is, given that you reject that, can you tell me how in your atheism you can get immaterial, universal, invariant, necessary laws?
Well, like we discussed before, I can't answer everything. Neither do I try to answer everything. Like my wife.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Here is a guy who has a website criticizing Christians, mm-hmm, and criticizing Jesus and everything else, and you ask him the most simple question. It may sound complex with words like invariant. Listen, invariant means unchanging, okay? Immaterial, not made of matter, okay? Universal, they hold everywhere, those sorts of things. But the interesting thing here is it's such a simple bottom line issue. Reason, mm-hmm, logic. Is it important? Is it universal? Is it an unchanging thing? You know, and you press the unbeliever who spends his life attacking Jesus and his church on the issue of logic, and he can't even answer the most basic part of life, logic, reasoning. Mm-hmm. You say, how does your worldview as an atheist give us these things that you constantly chastise people about all the time? Give it to me. He's like, well, I don't know. I don't have an answer, and neither do I try. The absurdity of atheism.
Right.
And I want to say, Christians, we are much better off when we come at the unbeliever in this way, attacking their foundations, because we, in fact, do have a justification, mm-hmm, for our appeal to logic. At the bottom of a logical appeal is an appeal to honesty and integrity, to holding to what is real and true. We have a basis for immaterial entities in our worldview. We have a basis for demanding that another person hold to consistency, because God himself is the very standard of reasoning and logic. We have the whole thing, the whole worldview. The unbeliever has only a basic appeal to because. That's it.
Right. Yeah, that's just the way it is.
Just the way it is.
Right.
But you're so illogical and stupid, mm-hmm, is basic on how it falls. So, Colin, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's always funny when an atheist says that, because their criticism to us is that, you know, well, you guys can't answer these questions about science and philosophy. And really the fact is that they can't answer the basic questions.
Right. That's right. And they don't have a worldview that can make sense of what they are doing. Hear that. The unbeliever does not have a worldview or framework that can make sense of what they are doing and saying. And it only at in the end of all of this discussion, we want to get this. It just displays the hostility and enmity with God that they have in every area of every point of contact. Where do you want to make the point of contact? You want to make it the issue of morality, love, beauty, truth, goodness, logic, science? Where do you want to make the point of contact? At every point of contact, wherever you touch it, you're going to find an image bearer of God very angry with his creator. You're going to find a person that has worked very hard at making sophisticated arguments against God. And then when you just get to the bottom of it, you can display it absolutely refutes itself. Mm-hmm. All right, here's more.
I don't understand everything about her, but I do understand some things. So
okay, so
that question,
what you're
I
saying is
you, we have these things.
You require right, right. I agree.
How
and see, I would
can't answer that.
I would
and
say
neither do I desire to answer.
Well, I would say what's interesting. Then what's interesting to show here, I think, for our listeners to listen to is that you have Christians who would want to have a justification, some sort of a warrant. A justification for, say, our beliefs. We want to make sure we say, well, we believe this, and here's why we believe that. We have a cogent answer or something would answer, say, the preconditions of intelligibility for, say, laws of logic. That, you know, for example, if I require of Brett that he holds to laws of logic, I really want to give a reason as to why. But what you're saying, Brett, is that you do these things, and it's just that way.
Yeah, first of all, I don't require you to hold to the laws of logic.
You said that they're universal and necessary.
That if you didn't hold to the laws of logic, then we could have a conversation. But if you don't want to hold to the laws of logic or be logical in any sense, then that's okay.
Well, I certainly do. But see, here's the – I think you're missing where I'm coming from. I think you're missing where I'm coming from, Brett. What I'm saying is that you have to have some sort of an answer that satisfies – the preconditions that are necessary for intelligibility of, say, laws of logic. Because when you say that they're absolutely necessary, we need to hold to those things, I'm going to say to you why. And then your answer is, it's just that way. And if I turn that around on you as a Christian and I said, hey, Jesus is God, and you say, why? And I say, it's just that way, Brett. I know you wouldn't accept that. So why would I, as a Christian, accept from you this really, I mean this respectfully towards you, but it's absurd notion that I should be required to hold to universal necessary laws when you can't give me any justification other than you're just doing it.
No, my justification is that why you should hold to logic, reason, is because you need that to get through life.
Why should I want to get through life?
Well, okay, exactly. See, that's the point. If you don't want to
using your atheism,
life,
I'm using your atheism.
You don't have to use logic.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
I'm using your atheism.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
But if you want to get through, if you want to get through a marriage with your wife, you're going to have to use some logic.
Why should I want to get through a marriage with my wife?
Get through the marriage,
is she valuable? Is she valuable in some way? I thought she was an animal.
Yeah, she's an animal, but right. She's valuable.
She
my
is.
My wife is valuable.
Really?
Here's a woman who birthed my kids. We make love. She you know, treats me good. My mother is my mom. I love her. My dad loves me. I love my dad. I love my siblings. I love my kids. They're all extremely valuable.
You know what you
I'm
sound like, Brett?
Because we're
Brett,
animals.
Brett, you
we're
know what you sound
valuable.
Like?
No, we're all extremely
my friend,
valuable.
My friend,
we're our
Brett.
Own little group.
Brett, my friend. Do you know what you sound like? And I mean this with love to you, man. I really do. You know what you sound like? You sound like a Christian. You sound like
that's okay.
You sound you sound like a Christian.
That's
who,
okay.
But
and so what? Christians are my best friends. So
yeah.
I love. Christians,
what I mean is
so
what I mean by that is that I think that you're imaging God here, because what's interesting here is that the way that you are living and asking others to live is consistent with a biblical revelation, but it's inconsistent with your claim. Your claim is that we're just animals, there's no morality, and there's no guidance and no governance to the universe, and yet you live happily as ultimately a theist. There you go. All right, so there's a portion of it. Again, you can get the rest of that content at redemptionradio.podbean.com, the debate with Brett Strong. It's interesting because Brett Strong, really, if you talk to him, he's a really sweet guy. I mean, and he really is such a sweet guy. And I have a lot of love in my heart for Brett, but he's absolutely absurd in his reasoning and his attacks on Christianity. Absolutely, undeniably absurd and foolish. And so when you begin to pull it out here, the whole point of the discussion is to show the person, not let's put God on trial and have you stand over God and see if you'll let God be God, but to demonstrate that you live constantly on borrowed capital. Your whole life is borrowed capital. Here's a good example. Here's a man who says to people that we're just animals and there's no morality, talking about the love he has for his wife and how valuable she is. And now watch this. As a Christian, I can make sense of that. Right, because she's in the image of God. Right, she should be protected. Right, that whole relationship is valuable. Yeah, you should want to love your wife. Yeah, you should want to do good to others. I can make sense of all that because, well, I'm starting with God. But you can't because you've already given it all up.
Well, and specifically, I mean, in this show, he specifically referenced women in general. So, I mm-hmm. mean, you know, like he referenced moms, his wife,
your mom.
Daughters, all that. Yep, mm-hmm, he did. But then earlier in the show, he talked about how, you know, in a society, if society says that you can rape women, then it's okay.
That's right.
So there's a disconnect happening somewhere when he's thinking about, well, it's just not, it's not a consistent, well thought out argument. If when you're talking about raping a woman, you're not thinking about looking into the eyes of a rape victim.
Right.
Like when there's a disconnect there, you can say anything you want. If you can separate the pain of a rape victim and make it very clinical and just say, oh, rape, if society says it's okay, then you're just not, it's not a good argument.
No.
I'm sorry, because it's not realistic. It's not, you can't be so cold when you're talking about rape.
Yeah.
You just can't, unless you're just putting a part of rape out of your mind, which is the pain that ensues after, you know, after it happens.
That's right. And lest anybody think that we're just picking on low hanging fruit here with Brett Strong and somebody just out there and, you know, wild eyed and everything else. You can listen to Richard Dawkins and his discussion with Justin Brierley, where Richard Dawkins says exactly ultimately the same thing. It's not really wrong. Mm-hmm. We just determined as a society you really shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And but push it to its logical end. So if society does determine it's okay to do, it's okay to do. Well, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, because that's my standard. Mm-hmm. Holds you to your standard. And the unbeliever knows in their heart of hearts that they will not live that way because the image of God is too difficult to push down that far. Colin, what you got to say, man?
Yep, they can only hold down the truth for so long. If you keep having the conversation, it will keep popping up. They cannot live consistently with what they believe.
That's right. Van Til said, let the unbeliever talk and keep talking, and eventually he will hang himself. And it's true. And so I guess my encouragement here would be to brothers and sisters, load yourself up, get armed to the teeth as a Christian on researching scripture, looking at how God's revelation flows together in this beautiful tapestry. It is amazing. Look at your history of archaeology. Look at the science, biological complexity of life. Look at the stuff in the human genome today with the language of life. Look at it all. But know this, that's never the problem with the unbeliever. It's always an issue of a suppression of truth. They're at war with God, and they will at every turn display it. You just got to let them. Mm-hmm. Don't let them put God in the dock. Don't let them stand as judge over God. Don't let them appeal to things that they are only holding right now because of borrowed capital as an image bearer of God. Expose it at every turn. Every time they open their mouth and they speak about value in a human being in any way, remind them that they already gave it up when they gave up God.
Amen.
When they speak about logic, consistency, uniformity in nature, remind them immediately you already gave that up when you just tried to push God out of your life. You can have it if you turn from your sin to come to Christ for reconciliation and peace with God. Know this, the only hope for the atheist and the rest of the world is reconciliation with God through faith in Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the righteous one. He died for sinners. He rose from the dead. He is ascended and seated. He sits enthroned, and he calls people everywhere to turn from their sin to come be reconciled to God through faith in him. There is salvation. There is forgiveness in Christ and in Christ alone. Cornrow Colin Pearson.
Jeff the Mouse Durbin.
Oh, yeah.
Dang.
That guy looks like an emaciated Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Cornrow Colin Pearson. Get him, guys, at the Bible Thumping Wing Nut Show. We love you, bro.
Love you, too, guys.
Thanks for being with us. That's Luke the Bear. Joy the Girl. And that is Skinny Chap.
Skinny Chap ice cream.
I just wear one chap
jeans
now. My outfit is just becoming more and more scandalous.
We love you guys. Hi, this is Jeff Durbin, host at Apologia Radio, also the pastor at Apologia Church. You can get us at apologiachurch.com. We have officially moved to Sunday morning services. We want to invite you to come and worship with us. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, South west corner of 60 and Rural at the Embassy Suites. We are committed to worshiping Christ in spirit and in truth, and to building strong biblical families, and to expositional through the Bible teaching. Please join us for worship as we work towards the exaltation of Christ throughout the world.
This is the Ministry Bear, also discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. The location we're meeting at is the Embassy Suites at 4400 South Rural Road, and that's in Tempe. Again, we're meeting at 10 o'clock a.m. on Sunday mornings. Please join us, apologiachurch.com.
Embassy Suites, 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, apologiachurch.com.